This program was produced by and first broadcast on Radio Hawke's Bay, your community access media station. Thanks to New Zealand On Air for making this type of programming possible.
Tell me, tell me, tell me, Pope wrote the book of love. I've got to know the end.
You're listening to Radio Hawke's Bay, and this is a program called
The Wonderful World of Wardini Books.
And as always, it's my pleasure to have in this studio, and our new studio today, well, new to us today, it's a little box.
It's less salubrious than the other studios, but that's okay.
The wonderful Lou from Wardini Books in Havelock North. How you been?
Yeah, very well indeed. Yeah.
Great to have you here with me. Now, we're going to talk about two different things today. We're going to talk about a book called The Daffodil Day. Let's talk about that first.
The Daffodil Days is a novel by Helen Bain, but this feeds into the world's obsession with Sylvia Plath and Ted Hughes and that sort of doomed relationship, and then what happened to Sylvia and indeed her children as they grew up in life. But we're in the early 60s, and this plays with the couple, Sylvia Plath and Ted Hughes, living in a small Devonshire town, North Taunton, and they've bought this cottage, and it's amazing, and it's Sylvia does it up in very Sylvia-esque way, and she is American, and she is this exotic creature to the other people in this village, you know, but they love her. Like, if she gives you her full attention, you are clearly mesmerised.
Yes.
But yeah, if she decides to drop you, then also
you're
that
out.
Might happen. Yes. So she's this very dynamic character, and it really does focus on Sylvia. So it's at the time when Ted has left, and for any aficionados of the story, you'll know that Ted leaves. Sylvia goes back to London, rents a flat, and eventually does kill herself in the flat, whilst taping their children into, sealing their children into the bedroom so that they don't get the gas fumes that are going to get her. So it's an incredibly tragic story. But it's really about, it counts back from Ted leaving. So it will do it in chapters that concern the butcher of the village and his interactions with that family and what was going on for him, but also how Sylvia comes in and out. It's the dress shop where there's a young girl who's been left in charge by herself who has aspirations, and she meets this very glamorous American woman who's looking for something different. She doesn't find it in that shop, but, you know, it's how she interacts with her, how she interacts with the housekeeper and the nanny and other people in the literary world. So there are lots of Easter eggs for people who know about that story as well. Assia Wevell, who was Ted's second wife, her first husband sort of crops up, you know, and smug know-it-alls like me go, oh yes, oh yes, I know who that is. So it's, if you know a lot about Sylvia and Ted, you're going to get heaps out of it. I think if you don't, it's still a bloody good novel in its own right. You know, a glamorous couple and the unravelling of a marriage, and Sylvia's quite particular psychology as well.
Lots of threads by the sound of it. Easy read?
Very easy, yeah. So more on the literary side of commercial fiction, but still, yeah, it's just a good yarn as well as everything else.
Who's going to read that book?
So again, it's always book clubs, isn't
it?
Always book clubs. If you're remotely interested in Sylvia and her writing and her life, I think it gives you... You've got to remember that it's fiction, though. It's novelised. But it's incredibly well-researched. So any sort of personality traits that have come through, you know, there's sort of the... what do you call it? The sort of gossip's eye on... I'm trying to think of the phrase, Ken. How you really like to get into people, not Schadenfreude as such, because we don't wish any ill on her, and certainly that is not the novelist's intention, but just that, like, almost like celebrity news, you know? Oh, is that really what she was up to and what she was like? You know, there's a great fascination with this woman because of the incredible writer that she was. Yeah.
It must be so easy to make the character be part of you, or the character based on you. Did you find that when you're writing your book, that your character is part of you?
Yeah, definitely.
That's how you think and how you act.
But I do like to give Eloise, the character that's based on me that I write, I like to give her a lot more license than I would give myself. So that's quite fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, talk to us about the Ockham Book Awards.
Yes, so this kicked off last night. So the winners were announced in a, I don't know if it was a glamorous occasion, I would imagine that it was. So the first one to be announced was the Matatui Foundation Best First Book Awards. So you've got the categories of fiction, non-fiction, poetry, illustrated non-fiction, and I think there's a Māori language one as well. And so it's the Best First Book Awards. And the first one, the general non-fiction, went to Dame Jacinda Ardern for A Different Kind of Power. So she won that. She was sort of tipped that she might win the non-fiction, but she's won the first book award in that category. So congratulations to Dame Jacinda. And then the Jessie Mackay Prize for Poetry is No Good by Sophie Van... I can't see, I haven't got my glasses on, Wardenberg, and I have read some of those poems, and she is an excellent poet, and that is a very well-deserved award. When we get on to the person that actually won the poetry award, you'll realise why poor Sophie didn't actually, she got a slightly pip to the post. The Judith Binney Prize for Illustrated Non-Fiction is Hepuawai, which is the most glorious book of New Zealand flowers. So it's the history of New Zealand flowers by Phil Garnock Jones, and I think this is the one that comes with 3D glasses.
Oh, really?
So that you can really, really get into. And it's just the most glorious cover. It's got all these beautiful sort of just the flower part, not the stem or anything. Yes. You know, like little portraits of flowers. And the Best First Book Awards, Hubert Church Prize for Fiction was John Prinz for Pastoral Care. I know that we've sold some of that. I can't tell you too much more about that. So those were the Best First Book. And then we get down to the nitty gritty. So Te Muro o Te Tui Māori Language Award, 2026 recipient is Te Pō Temera for a book all about Te Kuti. Mm. And that is completely in Māori. So that these are, I've been talking with other industry professionals about this, and they're rare. You get a lot of translations, and I know Auckland University Press have done translations of Shakespeare and stuff. And sometimes you think, well, what's that actually got to do with Te Ao Māori?
Yes.
You know, whereas if you have a book that is written first with that worldview in that language, there's huge value in that. And we're starting to see a bit more of that coming through. So I think that's a really valuable award. It's amazing, eh? The General Nonfiction Award went to Tina Makariti for a series of essays called This Compulsion in Us, and that looks at her heritage, I think. And I haven't read that one yet. And Book Hub Award for Illustrated Nonfiction, Mr. Ward's Map. Now, if I haven't brought this in to show you, I will. Have you seen it?
No.
It's a massive book. It's huge, hardback. It's maps of Wellington. Like historic maps of Wellington. And that is by Elizabeth Cox. And it is just Victorian Wellington street by street. And it is the most fascinating book.
I bet it is.
And there's a beautiful wraparound on the cover. And you can open that out into a complete map that you could then frame, I suppose. And then the big one is the $65,000 Jan Medlicott Acorn Prize for Fiction. And that has been won by, drumroll please, Ingrid Horrocks for All Her Lives. And these are short stories. And that's really unusual for prize winners.
I heard that,
People like to get stuck into a novel. It happened with Irene Beautre years ago with Bug Week, and that was a fantastic collection of short stories. So Ingrid, and I'm chuffed a bit because I'd already got booked into Chair Ingrid and Kate Camp at Schrodinger's Books in Petone. So she is now the big winner, and I will get to chair her in a couple of weeks' time. And this is the one that we're super excited about locally, because the Mary and Peter Biggs Award for Poetry 2026 was Nafanua Purcell Kersall for Black Sugar Cane, and she is a Hastings girl.
Wow,
and she is stunning. She is the most amazing poet, and I've watched her just go from strength to strength from the sidelines, and it's just amazing to see her getting the recognition that she absolutely deserves. So she will be, Nafanua will be at our Party of Poets at the Cabana in August as part of the National Poetry Day celebrations.
Fabulous. Yeah. And I might suggest that you would have all of these fabulous books at your place.
Yes.
Indeed. Which is the Wardenley Books in Havelock North and
Napier.
Who wrote the book out loud?
This program was produced by and first broadcast on Radio Hawke's Bay, your community access media station. Thanks to New Zealand On Air for making this type of programming possible.